Good morning, church. Good to be with you this morning. It's interesting times we live in right now, I tell you what. But one thing for sure, in the midst of it all, God is still in control. We got to believe that. It's not irony. It's not happenstance. It's not coincidence that I'm standing in front of you this morning. It's all God. I talked to Terry last Sunday, and I noted that it had been a while since representation of the eldership had been able to stand in front of the congregation and kind of touch base and update us on some things. So we asked, kindly and nicely, if we could have the pulpit for this morning during the sermon time. As always, Terry was very gracious in that. I know he likes to hold on to that thing real tight, and I don't blame him. But our first string quarterback's out today. But God had a plan, I guess. Let's continue to remember him, of course, as Mike said. But we had a plan for us to be able to spend some time together this morning to just touch base on a few things that impact us all. Want to kind of update you on some church business, so to speak. My wife hates when I use that phrase, church business. But there are some things we need to talk about. And then there are some things that are really on my heart today. And speaking of elders and in representation of the eldership, I want to first say, I really hope and pray that our dear brother Larry and sister Betsy are able to watch from UAB today. I know brother Larry is not feeling well, but we send our love and our care and our prayers to him. Also to my great friend, a brother that I miss so very much, brother Conrad Carpenter. I haven't been able to see him in a while, as many of you have not. So I know that he and Sister Glenda are likely watching the live stream, clearly going to be watching the live stream this morning. And brother, I want to say that I miss you and I love you and I can't wait to see you again. We need you here when it's safe. 2020. I'm tired of saying that year. I'm tired of referencing that moment in our lives. But it has thus far been a year of profound impact. In my nearly 55, hard to even imagine saying those numbers, in my nearly 55 years on this earth, I can never recall a year that will be so deeply embedded in my memories as this year. Frankly, there have been so many moments that have been a profound concern and sadness and maybe some frustration, for sure some frustration, likely some confusion. I'll admit to that. For many, anxiety has grown exponentially and in some cases it has manifested itself in depression. We all are dealing with this time in our lives in different ways. It's impacted us in different and difficult ways. But it's not been absent of beautiful moments. We have welcomed beautiful new babies this year. We have some that are on the way. We have had moments with family and friends, even if at a distance. We've had birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, and most importantly, church, we've experienced while expecting the spectacular. We have come together as a congregation, adapted to the wildest, most challenging times that most of us have or will likely ever experience in our lives. We've risen to those challenges. And for the most part, we've stayed committed and focused. There's that word again. focused on the prize, while really and truly we've been having to reconfigure how we go about most everything in our lives, and most notably, our worship. These words are not in my notes, but I love being with you this morning. Financially speaking, church, Azalea City is doing well. More times than not, we have either met or exceeded our established budget that we put out to you at the first of the year. And although for the year we may be a little bit below budget, church, that's okay because our spending is down and our expenses are down. You have given liberally on behalf of the elders. I want to say thank you for that. We should all thank God for the blessing that that has been for us, because not all of our brothers and sisters and not all of our congregations in the brotherhood have been able to say that. It's been tough. Our virtual Bible classes and worship have been an extreme success, in my opinion. We have been able to reach folks we've never reached before. And we're adding new friends who are with us every time our virtual doors are open. And for that, I say, praise God. I've also witnessed and experienced myself personally profound encouragement that has come from many of you. It has been very needed, to be honest. It is priceless and it is very much appreciated. Our ministry team has continued to develop and deliver incredible Bible lessons and sermons that are so impactful for us all. And for that, we should be very grateful. Others outside of our ministry team have really stepped up in teaching our Bible classes, helping us with all of the technology challenges that we face, trying to get God's Word out to a world that we can't touch physically. Thank you guys for that. So many things continue to go on behind the scenes, regardless of the obstacles. And I am so happy to declare to you that Azalea City Church of Christ continues to be a shining light in this community. And I've never been more proud to be a member of this forever family. But church, in the midst of all this chaos and uncertainty, I think we can all agree that the devil has had himself quite a year so far. Although we recognize that evil has had its way in the world since the garden, it's apparent that Satan has really stepped up his game in 2020. If you follow social media at all, or watch the news recently, then undoubtedly on Friday you scrolled past reminders and videos of September 11th, 2001. This event in our history was not only very tragic, but it also brought out in Americans this sense of patriotism and unity unlike anything that I personally had experienced in my life. Spending a few minutes Friday watching some of those videos put a lump back in my throat. It brought a tear to my eyes. Yes, for the profound sadness and tragedy associated with that fateful Tuesday, but also for the pride in how Americans came together and put aside their differences to stand united. A proud time to be an American. And although we seem to continue to honor the memory of those lost on that terrible day, America has seemingly forgotten what it means to be united and strong as a nation. My pages are stuck together. My fellow Americans, my brothers and precious sisters in Christ, the state of our union is not good. I'm sure for all of us, we find it hard to put into words exactly what's happening in our nation right now. No longer can differences of opinion be approached with civility and mutual respect. It is now nearly commonplace for expressed differences to result in violence. Hatred is so openly expressed, being disguised as a right or a righteous point of view. America is now living in a time that has shamelessly declared, if you don't agree with me, then you are wrong and you are my enemy. Even a 4-cent mask, well, pre-COVID it was 4 cents. Even a 4-cent mask has divided folks. Even some families, and dare I say, some of God's people. What has happened to us? More importantly, the question is, how do we respond as the elect? As the chosen ones? As the ecclesia, the called out? How do we respond? What are God's people to do? What do we say? How do we live as ambassadors of Christ in such a time as this? Where do we turn? What voice is speaking to us? And I want to phrase that a different way, church. Whose voice are we listening to? What do our lives as Christians say as the living sermon that each of us preach every day of our lives, one way or the other? Church, I'm going to try my best in the next few minutes to point out what I believe are the clear answers to all of these questions. And I'm going to attempt to answer them in two very contrasting ways today. I will suggest what or who we should not be listening to, and then answer the question, to whom shall we go? Where, church? Where will we turn? My friends, our enemy has designed and executed a masterful plan to tear apart this country from the inside out at its core, and that's beginning with the family. There are those who have risen up mandating, demanding certain actions, certain words, particular acts of behavior that are now required or necessary to get this country aligned to the agenda that lies just underneath the speeches. As if to declare some new revelation to mankind, there is apparently a new truth being infiltrated into our society, or else. I'm going to make a statement that should clearly resonate with every child of God in this room this morning and with everyone watching on our live stream today. There is absolutely nothing a professional athlete, celebrity, governmental leader, or anyone else with a platform can tell you that will override, improve, or enhance in any way the commands and the revelation of Almighty God. I can hear Brother Darren from here. Let us not be deceived by the enemy. And church, let me make sure that I am clearly defining who the enemy is. I'm not talking about any specific person or group of people. I'm talking about the prince of this earth. I'm talking about the great deceiver. I'm talking about the enemy of God, Satan himself. That's the enemy, church. The reason why such hate exists in this world and in this nation right now is that the devil has persuaded folks that anyone in opposition to them in most any topic has become their enemy. It's a lie, church. You remember what Paul told the Galatians in his letter to that church in chapter 4 and verse 16? He actually said to them, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Sounds like we need to be quoting that scripture. Before 2020 was even in our sights, the devil had already been hard at work in the deception game. Look, this is nothing new. We're not dealing with something new. He has simply just capitalized on the circumstances that are happening in our country and in our world right now, and he has turned everyone against one another. The enemy has done that. So, Christians, hear me. If we find ourselves paying more attention to what the loudest voices are saying in society and culture right now, rather than what God has to say on the matter, we have a problem. For the sake of time, today what I'm going to offer are a handful, just a handful of verses from God's Word that tell us really and truly what we need to know, what we need to hear in order to navigate the ridiculous times we live in. These verses will more than adequately lay the groundwork for how I conduct myself as a child of God in 2020 and beyond. I am also convinced that if we not only live in accordance to these verses, but that we share that message with folks that we come in contact with a smile on our face, with a song in our heart, with compassion, that we will make a profound impact beginning in our families and then to our communities. And yes, to our nation. Now, you may all have likely had some verses that immediately come to mind when I said I'm going to give you a few. We're likely on the same page. So you may not have to turn far, but go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 12, please. We're going to read together verses 30 and 31. And church, I'm going to ask you to do something with me today. I'm not going to read this to you. Let's read it out loud together, shall we? Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Let's read together. Love the Lord your God, I can't hear you, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Look, when I was putting that slide in the PowerPoint yesterday, it dawned on me, that was a drop the mic moment right there. This could have been one of the shortest sermons that I've clearly ever preached. We have what we need right there, church. How do we live in 2020 amongst those that would try to divide us and tear us apart? How do we answer the question? How do we navigate our behavior when we're told by society that we need to do it a different way? Here's what we do. We first love God with all that we have. How many of our problems are answered just by doing that? I'm going to go with all of them. But let's look at the second greatest commandment. If ever there was a second closest, right, it was there. If I'm loving the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then I love my neighbor as if I love myself, the way I love myself, we've just wrapped that in a pretty bow. We've done what we need to do to shine a light on a dark world. The that's enough, isn't it? Is the answer somewhere else? Are we missing something here? By the way, I'm gonna explain to you an impossibility. It is impossible for me to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength and spew hate. It's impossible for me to love my neighbor as myself and hold prejudices in me. Bigotry. We can't do it both ways. Remember what James said? Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be. Right? Same kind of principle applies to you and me today. I can't love God in here and hate my fellow man out there. Hate to break it to you. Sermon's not over. Could be. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You did such a good job once I motivated you. Let's read this together, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. What a great package we've now put together. What a great complementary set of scriptures to add to Mark chapter 12, right? If I'm living and loving with all I've got, first of all, let's back up and say, I don't have time to hate. I don't have time to cause trouble. I don't have time to jump on this bandwagon. Why? Because as a child of God, if I'm loving with all I got, then it's got to come out. My calendar is already full doing God's work. There's no time for all that negative garbage. But just in case we need a little more information, if I approach everything I do with humility and not just look out what's good for me, but what's good for others, well, we got a whole different country then, don't we? Maybe the nightly news would be just full of good news and truth. But you know, I guess the reality here is maybe that just doesn't resonate with folks. Maybe that doesn't work. Maybe to some Christians that's not enough. All we have to do is go one more verse. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Guess what we get to do together? We get to read that together. Y'all are so good. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, how often have we then continued, right? 5 through 8 kind of goes together. We talk about what happened. All right, we're talking about Jesus, who it's not robbery for him to be considered equal with God, right? He was God. John 1:1 tells us that. He made himself of no reputation, took the likeness of men. What did he do? He humbled himself. How far? All the way. To the point of death. Not just any death. The cross. So if it just doesn't seem reasonable for me to consider other people when I consider myself, to esteem other folks higher than myself, then maybe we just need to consider what verse 5 tells us and what he did. If he can do it and take on the sins of the whole world, it is not unreasonable. And whether we like it or whether we don't, it is a command of God through the inspired writer. We're called to be different. We're called to be better. We're called out. This is how we behave. Listen, church, I'm not saying that these folks right here and folks listening aren't behaving in that way. I'm not saying that. I'm saying each of us have to look in the mirror check up from the neck up. Is that what we say? We are in this world, but not of this world. And the reason we're in this world is to do His work. How can I do that if there's something standing between me and people who are different, think different, vote different, act different, look different? That's not God's way. Now, let me ask you this. Are we missing something? It's obvious that in the world today, those that don't know God truly may say, "Yeah, I get it, you know." But we should also listen to this person. We should also read this book. We should also follow this person's lead and plan. I happen to disagree. Here's why. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You ready? I want us all to say these words. These are words that, if not already, should be ingrained in us. And when we say them, hopefully that commits us to live them, if we're not already. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's read together. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Does that sound like we're missing something? Does that sound like I need anything else from anyone else who breathes in and breathes out oxygen as the created and not the creator? We have to wake up. We have been given everything we need. Do you believe that, church? We got to continue to act like it. Continue to, right? That's the assumption that we're all doing that anyway. We've got to act like we believe it. We got to act like that we've accessed all that I need that pertains to life and godliness. Again, when we do these things, when it resonates with us, we've now evaporated any spare time by which I'm going to be paying attention to what the world thinks is important for me. Scripture tells me it's better to please God rather than man. Yeah? What has pleasing man gotten us? The only reward we can ever get from pleasing man is what man can give us while we're here. That ain't much. What has actually gotten our country right now in an effort to please other people is a broken America. And we, folks, we gotta hold tight. We gotta pay attention. We gotta band together so that sinfulness does not creep into the Lord's church. You know, back in 2014, when Jeff Abrams and I made this crazy undercover of night type flight to Ukraine, we did so because there was turmoil in the church. There was turmoil in the church because as Russia had not admitted it, with full force invading Ukraine, some of the folks, older members of the church who had lived through communism, found that they ate better. More of them had jobs. That's because Ukraine was such a new independent country, right? They only had about 20 years of independence, so they were like a kid leaving home, going out in the world on their own, don't know what to do. And so there became this problem in the church, this idea of maybe we need to accept this because at least we ate better, at least we all had jobs, we had a place to live, and there was this conflict. And what the prayer was, All Jeff and I tried to do is just pray with them and said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in all, right? We are one. We are the body of Christ. And church, similarly, in today's craziness, in 2020, we need to be united in Christ like never before. This last verse, one that Theo read this morning. You know, I'm proud of our vice president that he has used this scripture in many of his speeches and presentations. He and I may not align on a lot, but we do align on this. Last one, you get to help me read. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Let's read together. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what America needs now. That's what our families need. That's what our communities need. That's what the church needs if it's necessary. If we're getting caught up in all of this, if we're hearing all the noise and it's distracting us, if it's taking our focus off of God, then repentance should be in our future. We pray for that. We seek God's face. We turn away from those things that have not represented Christ in the best way possible. The promise of God then still exists, like it always has. We pray, we repent, we're forgiven. Praise God. My friends, as we get ready to close, I want to leave you with some hope and a challenge. As children of God, we have such hope for the future. We have hope that we can be the shining light in this unprecedented, are you tired of that word too? Dark world. We have hope that we can use the opportunities that this moment in history provides us all. The opportunity to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The opportunity to let our light shine with a smile, a kind word, a gesture, a courteous act. And ultimately, most assuredly, you and I have hope for eternal life when this life is done. I want to tell you a short story. The other day, Samantha was getting ready. She had found some ladies' retreat or classes or something. And she had decided she wanted to watch it. She told me, look, between this time and this time, I'm going to be doing this. Yes, ma'am. So the seminar or the class was about to come online. She was trying to get logged in, and there was the doorbell rang. It was a neighbor from across the street, Miss Francine. Miss Francine wanted to come in and talk to Samantha for a minute and let her know that, listen, the other day our daughter, Tatiana, who is 19 years old, sweet, sweet girl, was at Municipal Park, and there was somebody driving through there recklessly, not paying attention to what they were doing, and Tatiana got hit. Hit the windshield. Fractured her skull. I think she had a little bleeding on the brain. It may have fractured her jaw. Miss Francine came to tell us that, look, we're liable to have a lot of family visiting over the weekend, so if you see a lot of cars out in the street in there, we don't want you to be concerned. She went on to say that when she thinks about neighbors, she doesn't want us to be neighbors. She wants us to be like family. So my wife, who had plans for this seminar and class sat esteeming others higher than herself and talked with Miss Francine for nearly 2 hours. They talked about a lot of subjects. I could hear from my office, and I knew to stay out of the way. They talked about the panic of having a child in the hospital and not being able to visit them and be with them. The unknown about what was her condition. I can't get anybody to tell me anything. And then she's got all these people at her house that are crying and all of this. And she just had to go to work because it was just too much. And they talked about that. But they talked about Jesus. And the peace that she had been able to find. And Samantha described to her the peace that she's in, that's helped her through situations in her life. Why? Because of the relationship with Jesus Christ and what He did for her. In any other type of lesson, when I'm going to reference a story like this as it pertains to esteeming others higher than ourselves, I might just end the story right there. But maybe it's prudent to tell you that these two beautiful ladies engaging in this conversation, well, they're different races. They have different backgrounds. Didn't matter, did it? It's moments like that, church, that give me hope. It's a demonstration of the impact that we can have when we use the analogy in our daily lives that we've always been taught that I've got two ears and one mouth. I needed to be twice as much listening as I do talking. Now, I'm not going to lie. Those two ladies did a lot of talking. But I was never so proud. We have hope, church. We have Jesus, church. We now just need to take Jesus and share Him with people. That's what God's people can do in 2020. I challenge us. I said I was going to bring hope and a challenge. Church, I want to challenge us not to dwell on the troubles that plague our nation right now. This is just another temptation. It is just another obstacle. It is just another trouble that Jesus warned us about. By the way, John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, in this world, George, you're going to have troubles. He wasn't kidding. But guess what? He didn't leave me hanging. He didn't leave me in such a way that I needed to look to culture and society to tell me how to react to that trouble. No, sir. No, ma'am. He gave me everything I need because He finished it up with a few words. And He said, but George, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Look, 2020 is going to come and go. We may be dealing with this mess when we change the zero to a one January 1st. Regardless, the church will always exist. The Lord will always be at the head of the church. And Almighty God will always be on the throne. You can take that to the bank. That's all we need. Let's close in prayer together. Dear God and Father, we love You with everything that we have. God, I pray that our life declares that, not just by our words, but the intentions of our heart and with the things that we do every day.
Father, we realize that we are facing challenges. Challenges today that we didn't face just a few months ago. They may come wrapped in a different package, God, but we know where they come from. And God, thank You for Your holy word that can, even this morning, remind us of how we are to live and act and breathe as ambassadors of Christ. Father, we pray for courage. It could be, Father, that for many of us, we may need to call on courage now more than ever to stand firm on the truth, to declare Your truth, to speak the truth in love. Father, give us boldness. Boldness that is accompanied with the compassion of Jesus as we bring the good news of the Savior of the world to a lost and dying world. Father, thank You for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, thank You for Your holy word, that Your Holy Spirit has allowed these inspired writers to pen to give us this revelation of how we live and breathe and have our being. God, we acknowledge that You have given us everything that we need. Help us to listen. Help us to hear You. Help us to live as You would have us to live. Thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As my great friend and brother Ken Murphy would end any devotional, typical devotionals that he would lead when we were in Ukraine, he'd say, "I'm done." So I'm done. The gospel invitation is open for all. If we can help you in any way, please come right now as together we stand and we sing.